Hi, everyone. And if you're joining us online, welcome. But also because we've re-entered, if you're at Bush Lake or Woodside and our Chan campuses, glad that we can be together. And if you're a guest, may God meet you in a special way today. We're in the second of a four-part series called We Get to Be the Church. The topics: built, bigger, bolder, broader. And the timeliness of this is important in light of everything that we're dealing with, because we want to be reminded that we are the church and we get to be the church. And that is so needed today. And in fact, if you love Jesus Christ in your life, you love the church. They go together because he is the one who started it. He loves it. He died for it. And in fact, he's the one who built it. He's building it even now as we're gathering all around the world. Today's title is called Bigger. And it's bigger not in the sense of numbers, but rather in the sense of purpose, the purpose of your life. See, God ordained that the church would be his means to accomplish his holy purposes of love in your life and all around the world. Why he did it that way, I can't explain, but it's how he did it. So it matters greatly to him that your life purpose is bigger with Christ and his church than without Christ and his church. So I think it begs the question, as a good start point, how do you view the church? And likely you'll have to step back into your own story, your church story, to understand what you believe and your view of the church and why you believe it. So I did that. I practiced that this week concerning how did my view of the church get shaped. Got to go all the way back to 10 years of age. I had a spiritual experience at 10, and I can't actually put words to the whole thing. I'm just a young boy dealing with the divorce of my mom and dad, a relocation from Minneapolis, Minnesota to another state. It was rough on me as a young boy in that transition place, and there was this day. I remember the moment very well. There was a God prompting. Some of them are very noticeable, a big tug, and I was completely enveloped with this sense of God. A sense of goodness, something bigger than I could ever describe in any kind of words. I had this remarkable sense of the presence of God that was upon me. And that really has never left me, even though the heightened nature of it was definitely unique for that time. When I was 12, my grandmother invited me and my siblings to attend her local church, which was a Lutheran church, and to go through the confirmation class. So I did, and I actually liked it very much. I loved learning about church history, about God. And yet, when I graduated from confirmation, I thought I graduated from the church. And I stopped attending. I became what is known as a Christer, occasionally attending, particularly at Christmas and Easter. When I was 18... the parents of a girl that I was dating had a profound impact on my life and the view of my life. And they shared with me that I could have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That was odd language. How do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? But I'm glad that they shared that with me, that even though at 18 I would have said I was a Christian, and I believe that I was, there was some surrendering that needed to happen. And I came to understand that to be a follower of Christ means you let the way of the Lord be your way. And I still had the hands on the steering wheel of my life, driving in the direction of my life the way I thought it should go. And through that experience, I surrendered, took the hands off the steering wheel of my life, slid over, invited the Lord Jesus to be my leader so that his way would become my way. But church was still not a priority. Now I'm 22. I'm graduated from college. I'm deeply in love with Carrie. And yet church is not part of my life. For whatever reason, I didn't feel like I would be missing anything if I didn't attend a local church. When I was 23, a woman of prayer, a friend, said something to me. She said, God gave me a vision of your life, that you're going to be a pastor. Now, God has a sense of humor because I'm not even attending a church. And why would God give the vision to her and not to me? Well, I didn't have the maturity at that time to receive that kind of message from God, because his church wasn't a priority for me or my life practice. Church didn't make the top 10 priorities of my life that I wanted to most seize in my journey. But that would change me. My roommate was very active in the local church, and so I shared with him this story, and he said, come to my church. Just help me out for a while with high school students and just see what it's like. So I did, and within 6 months, my view of the church changed radically. I went from thinking that I could do everything that I'm supposed to do for God without the church and began to think instead that my life purpose would be very small if it wasn't for the church. It really changed the trajectory of everything in my journey. See, I didn't think I really needed to be a member of the local church to fulfill God's purpose for my life, and I was wrong. I was wrong. The church, see, gives a bigger life purpose to us. And the paradox of that promise is that it's really not about me. It's about something bigger, someone bigger than me altogether. And so I have a very bold challenge for us today in this message. My challenge is that you would say yes to be fully engaged as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ called Westwood or some other local church, because your life purpose is bigger with Christ and his church than without Christ and his church. Jesus makes that clear to us. And the reality of this truth is something that many of you know. You know exactly what I'm talking about. But I know there are some of you who are thinking to yourself, you know, it's still not the top 10 list of things that I want to make as a priority in my life. And I pray this message helps, you know, move the needle of your view, because it is the view of Jesus that his church and membership in it be a priority in your life. Jesus' idea of membership is actually revealed to us in this rich collection of metaphors that connect to the bigger purposes that he has for us. And I'm going to share five of these metaphors briefly, just kind of touch base on each of them at least, so you can see the bigger purpose that God has for you in each of these five. And the five are each very important to us. They are this beautiful picture that we get to be family, temple, ambassadors, body, and bride. Let's look at each of these. First, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, we get to be the family of God. You may have had this impulse sometimes when you've seen a family and are kind of taken by them and think, wow, what an amazing family. I'd kind of like to be part of that family. And yet, it compares nothing to God's family. In John 1:12, we read these beautiful words, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. It says that all have access to membership in this family of God. That if you say yes to Jesus, then it's the entrance point into his family, and it is the belonging that is the longing of our heart that gets satisfied in that family. And it says here that it is a right that he gave. He gave the right for us to become his children. In other words, it's a sacred privilege to be part of his family. We are indeed the sons and daughters of the living God. And you almost have to just pinch yourself to embrace this truth. I am a son of the living God. And that changes my sense of purpose in life. Membership is familial. We're family. And so the children of God, as such, we are siblings. Sometimes you'll hear Christians refer to each other as, hey, brother or sister, because we're siblings. And while some lose family to follow Christ, and it always breaks my heart that when you say yes to Jesus, some of you get excommunicated from your own nuclear family here. But for all who say yes, we have more. We gain family. We get more brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, children and grandchildren. It's so beautiful to be a member of the family of God. I took a photo that it sits on my desk in my office, and I wanted you to see it. It sits there because it's my favorite photo of my three now grandchildren. And I'm drawn into their gaze because you can feel the wonder of the two older girls, Jovi and Calla, looking with awe at the newborn little Charlie Grace. It's an image that communicates warmth and acceptance, loving and belonging, security and significance. And it's so good. And yet it's but a shadow of what it is to be part of the family of God. The welcome and the warmth, the love and the belonging, The safety and the security is unlike any other family journey. See, there is no family, no club, no fraternity, no association like the Church of Jesus Christ, where the only qualification to being a member is the confession of our brokenness. And then the merciful healing touch of his hand to meet us right where we're at, and the acceptance that he gives to us with his open arms as we surrender ourselves to him, and that deep sense of belonging that is the longing of our soul that he satisfies as we become members of the family of faith of God. So the notion that loyalty to God somehow separates us from loyalty to God's church would be completely foreign to Jesus, because they very much belong together. To Jesus, the way we relate to God is in community. It's in his family, and that's why he wants us to be a member of it. It's the whole reason why you're alive. God wants you to be and join his family and then live forever in it. It's our bigger purpose, to be the family. And in this whole COVID reality, we're being pressed in right now, that there is a distance and a detachment that's happening within our familiar relationship as churches all across the world. And we're at risk a little bit if we don't seize the opportunity to heed the words of Scripture that says, let us not grow weary of being together, of worshiping together, of being the family together. So I encourage you to guard your heart from drifting away during this season. Stay with us. Stay engaged in the reality. Let's love the family. Let's serve the family. Let's be together in the different ways that we find ourselves being together. It's our bigger purpose to be his family. And then there's this metaphor that is a unique one. It's called the temple, a metaphor of being the temple, that we get to be the holy temple of God. Ephesians 2:20 describes God's people as the temple built on the apostles and the prophets. And then 1 Peter 2:5 calls members of the body of Christ the living stones. And then 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, you realize, don't you, that you are the temple of God, and God himself is present in you. No one will get by with vandalizing God's temple. You can be sure of that. God's temple is sacred, and you, remember, are the temple. Wow. We think of temple as the place, at least for the people of God in the Old Testament, the place that they would go where the presence of God dwelt, where there was a cleansing for them to enter into the presence and to worship him, where there were offerings that were given up. And here we have this new relationship with the coming of Jesus Christ that removes that temple experience and makes our body the very temple of God, and the cleansing that he washes us free to be in us through the presence of the Holy Spirit to the end that we can worship him with freedom wherever we might be. And yet when we come together, that worship gets sharpened. There's a cleansing experience that's with us all the time because of Christ who's in us through the Holy Spirit. And therefore, we need each other, because we help each other to live the holy life that God intends for us. That happens as we come together as his temple and worship him. And it's iron sharpening iron, you could say. So with our body, which is the temple, it means we want to be careful where our body goes and what our body does and what our body ponders, as well as how our body reacts to everything that's happening around us. I think this is why we're told with such clear instruction in Galatians to walk with the Spirit. The Spirit is in us. And the mark of those who walk with the Spirit is called the fruit of the Spirit. So love, joy, and peace, and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Man, we need a big dose of all of those things in this world. And it's happening from within through the Holy Spirit who marks our life. And then you realize as the temple that your purpose is not your own. We don't get to do things the way we just want to do them, when we want to do them. No, it's the sacred privilege that we get to do what the Lord would have us to do when he wants us to do it. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. We belong to him. So his ways become our ways. gonna have a fun experience with my mom, and you know how much I respect my mom, and she's with us doing really well these days. I'm so grateful. She's a wise lady on many, many fronts, and many, many, many years ago, she said, Joel, I want to plan my funeral. I go, well, okay. It seems like a long ways away, and it clearly has been, but we sat down and we did it, and we crafted it, but she included this song, and I didn't raise it with her at the time, but it was a song she wanted in her funeral service by Frank Sinatra called My Way. Odd, I thought, but you know the lyric, and now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain, my friend. I'll say it clear, I'll state my case of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I've traveled each and every highway, but much, much more than this, I did it my way. And I left it in there. A few years later, my mom put her faith in Jesus Christ. She was baptized right here at Westwood. I'll put it up there as one of the most meaningful experiences of my life as her son, to baptize her as she said yes to follow Jesus with her life. A short time later, we sat down and went through her funeral service again. And when we did, she said, you know, Joel, I think we should take the song My Way out, to which I chuckled. I didn't need to control that. She saw that because she understood it's not about my way. My life is about his way now. And she knows the joy of following the path of his way rather than her own way. It's our bigger purpose in life, which gets nurtured best as we come together in fellowship as members of Christ's church. The next metaphor is really the overarching metaphor for the church. It's the kingdom of God. And the reality is that we get to be ambassadors in Christ's royal embassy. And that's not a language that we're always commonly aware of, at least in the United States. If we go to Great Britain, they still use the kingdom language. They still have royalty. But this language was very present in the time that Jesus wrote. In Matthew 28, he gives us the Great Commission, and he reminds us that all authority in heaven and on earth is given to him, which, by the way, he says, I'm about to give to you. That the kingdom of God is at hand. That's what the gospel is. He ushered it in. The ways of heaven become ours on earth. And in 2 Corinthians 5:20, we read, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Friends, we are ambassadors of the King of Kings. All kinds of royal responsibilities come with that. In the church, we get to do kingdom business. And that includes things like baptism and the Lord's Supper, which are royal rights that we have as we belong to this family. We are indeed KG people, Kingdom of God guys and gals. And it's the kingdom of God that he ushered in, the kingdom of God that we serve as ambassadors by doing good is in his name. In fact, Matthew reminds us that we do good in his name because if we do good, people will be drawn to his name. Let them see your good works, it says, that they may see your Father in heaven. That's part of our ambassador responsibilities. We do good that elevates the name of the Lord, and we proclaim the name of Jesus. He is our King, the King of Kings. We don't shy away from that. We're proud. We're privileged. We're humbled that we get to declare the name of Jesus. And I hope you are actively involved in proclaiming the kingdom of God through proclamation of the name and the person of Jesus, who is our King. And what it means is it matters how we come into the presence of the King. If you have come through membership at Westwood, you've heard me share this story, but use it as a refresher. For many of you, you're hearing it for the first time. This story for me just wraps up the DNA of what Westwood is all about and what we seek to be in our own personal journey on the basis of our purpose statement to stand in the presence of the Lord with open hands. It's the story of the famous golfer Arnie Palmer, who received an invitation to go to a 3-day golf tournament in Saudi Arabia, which he accepted. And while there, the king of Saudi Arabia asked for a private meeting with Arnie Palmer, and he complied, and they met together. And in that meeting, the king of Saudi Arabia said that he would like to give a memento, a gift, to Arnie Palmer for taking the time to come and be part of this 3-day golf tournament. Arnie Palmer at that time was a millionaire in his own right. He didn't need more mementos, more things. And he said, that's not necessary at all. It's just been a joy to be in your country, to play golf with your people has been satisfactory enough. But he could tell he had offended the king of Saudi Arabia. Not a good idea to offend a king. So he recalibrated and he said, you know what would be a nice gift, would be a memento of my stay here, would be a golf club, simple little golf club. And delivered to Arnie Palmer's hotel in an envelope the next day was the title to a golf club. 180 acres, the golf course in whole, the clubhouse in whole, and everything, all the amenities to go along with it. Amazing. The moral of the story is, in the presence of a king, don't ask for small gifts. And we stand in the presence of the King of Kings, representing the kingdom of God. And when we do so, we do it with open hands, receiving from God all that he wants to give, believing he wants to give us a lot. And then with open hands, giving it away, believing we cannot outgive God. We cannot. It's the generosity of our God in his kingdom work, in his grace that pours over and changes our lives, our families, the communities in which we live, the cities in which we live, the nation in which we live. It's that powerful. It's the bigger purpose we have to live with open hands, receiving and giving away. And then the fourth metaphor is that we get to be the body of Christ. The New Testament regularly refers to the church as Christ's body in many places, like 1 Corinthians 12:12. Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many parts. In other words, when you put your faith in Christ, you become a member, a part of the body, and the body has to work together. A severed hand, you know, it might live on its own for a little while, but its health and its life is clearly going to be in jeopardy if it's not connected to the whole body. And the same is true with God's church. It's possible to find believers who are disconnected from the body. That is, they have faith in Christ, but they have no relationship or membership into a local church. But this isn't God's design. And such independence really diminishes the life and the purpose that God has for us in it. So we're told that every believer makes up part of the body, and every part is important. We're also told that every part of the body receives a spiritual gift. I didn't know this for many, many years in my Christian journey, and many of you didn't realize that you have a spiritual gift. It's one of God's greatest gifts to you. And part of your life purpose is to discover that gift and to use that gift. And once you do, man, joy rises. Your purpose in life becomes bigger indeed, but its impact is seen, it's felt in your own personal expression of the gift that comes from God, which, by the way, you don't earn it, you don't deserve it, you simply receive it. I think about how important that is for all of our ministries at Westwood, which would not happen if people didn't step in with skills, abilities, but especially their spiritual gifts. I think about that especially for online now. 5 months we've been online. Little did we know that would be our primary place of worship. And the technology that allows us to do this is absolutely extraordinary. What a great gift from God that we can be together this way. But if I could take you behind the technology, you would find that there are dozens of people that you don't know their names, that are serving behind the scenes and making a great difference, like Pamela Gold. Pamela has been a volunteer here for a long time. She's served in various capacities along the way. She's a retired professional saleswoman who tells us recently that she found her sweet spot. She found the place that she truly belongs and her purpose that God has for her in it. She's currently serving as Westwood's online campus volunteer coordinator. So she comes alongside of you who are checking in and saying, I'd like to be a volunteer. So she's the one you'll follow up with if that's your desire. She'll learn your story. She'll try to understand your gifts and teach you gifts, spiritual gifts. If you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, you get to shadow her and see the different ways you could be involved and then actually engage and start serving in a way that it brings a fullness to life. And you may want to do that with her. But this is what she said. She says, I am honored to be the person who connects with potential volunteers, hears their faith story, and helps them discover the spiritual gifts that allow them to serve the Church of Jesus Christ. She goes on, I am blessed by the online community that Westwood has established and the value of relationships that we have with each other, the attendees and volunteers. And then she says, I am inspired that no matter how old I am, which, by the way, she's not all that old, I still have something valuable to contribute to the body of Christ. He says, I love being part of Westwood. See, when you find your gift spot, your sweet spot like that, your love for the church gets elevated. If you love Jesus Christ, you love his church because he meant for us to be together. In 1 Peter 4, God has given each of you his special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other. That happens as we're together. Membership is important to your purpose. And then the final metaphor is that we get to be the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ is the prominent metaphor in scriptures that describes God's relationship with us, the personal, beautiful relationship. Think about a bride, how beautiful a bride is. And we see this marriage metaphor in different places like Ephesians 5:31, where it says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. Uses the metaphor of relationship here, magnifies it to say the intimacy of that relationship is what we get to have with God. One of the great joys of my ministry has been officiating weddings over 40 years. There's been hundreds of them. I have the best seat in the house. I see every bride as she comes down that aisle. And it's a fascinating thing to see because everybody's heads just turn. I don't prompt them to turn. They just look and they take in, they gaze at her beauty. And then we go to the reception following. I wish you could hover around the bride and just hear what people say because they always, always, always say, you are so beautiful. I have never heard in 40 years anybody say, man, you are one ugly bride. Nobody says that because every bride is beautiful. It doesn't matter her size, her shape, the dress that she's wearing. She's glowing because of this beautiful display of coming down that aisle to be given to another. And so it is with Christ and his relationship with the church. That we have a bigger purpose. And it's found as we love and respond to Christ, desiring to please him in every way as we would in a relationship of love, that we would strive to be faithful and pure in that relationship with him, that we would love and care for each other, and that we would prepare and dress for the big wedding to come, the big feast when he comes back again. And we're told we have a special dress. It's a symbol of holiness as we are presented to God the Father by Jesus himself. Oh, I have a bold challenge. It doesn't come from me. It comes from Jesus himself. Say yes to being a fully engaged member of the Church of Jesus Christ called Westwood or some other local church because your purpose is bigger with Christ and his church than it is without him. That's the invitation we have. God has a purpose for your life. It's much bigger than ever you could imagine. It's nothing that you could accomplish on your own. And that's why one of the reasons Jesus gave to us his church. In fact, there's nothing like the local church when it's working right. Honestly, we know it doesn't always work right. But when it's working right, there's nothing like it. And it works right and best when the people of God become members of the church and serve Christ's holy purposes in and through it. That's the invitation for you. We have a class called Life Transformed. It's where our membership process is included. I want to encourage you not to wait. It could be offered in October, but I want to encourage you even now today to sign up, to go to our website. You'll find it there and say, I am going to become a member. You've got some time, some weeks here before October comes to think about it. Don't pause. Become a member of the Church of Jesus Christ. Now let me invite you, along with our worship leaders here and at Bush Lake and at Woodside, to just stand up wherever you might be, because I would love to conclude this with a declarative statement of unison as we recite together the Apostles' Creed, declaring our love for God the Father, his Son, Jesus Christ, the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit that gives us the church that we belong to today and forevermore as his family, as his temple, ambassadors, as his body, and as his bride. So let's declare these words together from the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen and amen and amen.